again, welcome out to our Christmas service here for the Chicago International Christian Church.
Amen.
Good to have everybody out. Good to have so many familiar faces and so many new faces as well.
That's awesome.
And the title of the lesson, since it's, of course, our Christmas service, is I'm Dreaming of a Light Christmas. And of course, there's throughout the Old Testament and just about Jesus being a light, these messianic prophecies that are so famous about just what the whole Christmas is all about. It was prophesied thousands, almost 750 years before this happens. And even before that, thousands of years, even with David. Let's go to some of the most famous, Isaiah 7 through chapter 11.
Come on, Mike.
Come on, bro.
Preach it.
Take a step, bro.
Isaiah 7.
Come on, bro.
In verse 14, it just says, verse 14, it says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign.
All right. That's great.
The virgin will be with child. It will give birth to a son. And will call him Emmanuel.
Okay.
Here, of course, it's talking about Jesus and the virgin birth. And what's happened is that the Israelite people have rejected God. And he says, I have a sign that's waiting for you because you decided to go against the signs I've already given you. There will be a virgin, and she will give birth, and his name will be Emmanuel. That's the sign that's coming, that's in store.
Okay.
And the people are like, what are you talking about? God says, you're not going to see it in your time. You're going to see it only in your children's time is when it's going to happen.
Right.
So, here, thinking, seeing, man, that God was planning from 750 years before, and way before that as well, for this Messiah, for Jesus to come and bring salvation, bring life for the people. Is that awesome?
Yeah.
That the life God had planned was within this virgin who was going to give birth. Give birth to who? Give birth to Jesus.
Amen.
And so the life that we're talking about is Jesus, and from the day of being born, the day of finally coming into the earth, he was Lord of all.
Right. Yeah.
He was King of all.
Right.
And he was worshipped by all.
Right.
In heaven. Yet as Anthony so perfectly put it, there was nobody, very few, were celebrating the birth of Jesus
right.
here on earth.
Right.
In chapter 9.
Come on,
bro.
Verse 1, it says, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned.
Amen.
I mean, just what a powerful scripture in Isaiah chapter 9 right here.
Yeah.
And of course, Jesus, when he starts his ministry, he makes it clear. And he says, this scripture was prophesying about me.
Right?
And then after that, he tells the people, listen, I'm here. And yet I've come here. Yet I've been rejected. And of course, at the end, they take him to the cliff and try to kill Jesus.
Right.
Isn't that intense?
Yeah.
Isn't that intense how Jesus comes? The light. But here, he talks about what is he the symbol of? The light of the world.
Yeah.
And of course, in the light, you understand that there's something that is opposing that, which is what? The darkness.
Yeah.
With the darkness, there is the light as well. And what it's saying right here is that, you know, there is no light for so, so long.
Right?
Yeah.
And that here, he finally comes and brings the dawn, the light of the world.
All right.
Have you ever lost power before?
Yeah.
Has something ever died on you?
Yeah.
I mean, you could talk about your cell phone dying. I'm sure we all can relate to that. Maybe, maybe not. You ever die? You ever have it die? And you can't contact anybody. And it's almost like your whole world has become darkness, in a sense. Because there's no electricity. There's no power in your cell phone. And nobody knows where you're at. You don't know where you're at. You can't even find where you got to go because your cell phone's not working. That's where we're going in our times. And for those who grew up without cell phones, it's almost a blessing now instead of a curse. How about your car? Has your car ever died and lost power? Your battery ever gone dead? You're in your car, you're fired up, it's freezing out. You jump in, you try to start it, it's dead. Nothing. No response. I remember one story. One of the sisters, her car was dead and she didn't know what happened. And the husband says, hey, you need to look at the gas gauge. And she looks and there's no gas in her car. Her car had died. And she didn't know what was wrong with it. Is that there's no gas in it. You know, when we don't have power, our lives seem dark. Has your power ever gone out in your house? In Florida, there used to be hurricanes. The hurricane comes through, there's no power for a day. And everybody's walking around with candles. You fill up your bathtub because you need to have clean water. You know that's how you survive. Wow. And so it's dark. And then you're waiting and nothing works. The radio doesn't work. TVs are off. Yeah. There's no light at night. You got to have all your candles lit. But then finally you're just waiting and waiting and waiting. And then the power comes back on.
Right.
The lights come on. Uh-huh. And you're just like rejoicing. Like, yes! Thank you! But the interesting thing, man, we get so fired up when the lights come on, when the power's back. And that's only in maybe 10 minutes. Or maybe 10 hours, if it's that bad, of just straight darkness. But then for 10 centuries, there was darkness in Israel. Imagine how fired up the people were when Jesus comes and brings light to the world. Imagine how exciting that was. Let's look at verse 6. It says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He'll reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Right.
It says, what will bring the Messiah? The zeal of God. The fire of God. The passion of God is going to bring the Messiah to the earth to be the light of the world. To be a ruler, not corrupt, but full of justice and righteousness. And a lot of times we forget, because being in America, a lot of times you're used to some politicians who become corrupt. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, even in the state of Illinois, you see it happening. But we're not going to go into politics, because that's not what church is all about. But to lift up Jesus, that the fact is, here is a ruler. Ruler of all the earth. Not just in charge of the earth, but in charge of the whole entire universe. Say, this guy's pretty powerful.
Amen.
Man, and usually with great power comes corruption.
Right. Yeah.
But Jesus is righteous and true through all of it. Amen. Doesn't that fire you up?
Amen.
Fire you up to know the master of the universe, not He-Man, Jesus, is the most powerful and just and right ruler ever to exist and ever that will exist.
Amen.
And when will He stop leading and stop ruling?
Never.
Amen. It's never going to end. He's always going to rule. Luke chapter 2. We'll fast forward here. 780 years. Actually, I'm sorry, about 750. And in Luke chapter 2,
come on,
we're going to pick it up in the very beginning of the book and where it starts with the birth of Jesus. First one. It says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So here, you're looking, and the fact is that now the Romans have become the empire of the known world at this time. Of course, the first one Well, one of the first, Babylon. Then who else? The Persians.
Right.
Then after that comes Alexander the Great and the Greeks, the Hellenic Age, excuse me.
Right.
And then after that, the Romans come.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're probably familiar with all those, right?
Yeah.
I don't need to remind you.
Oh, yeah.
So with that, the Romans, and now Pax Romana, now is the Roman Empire, and here is where a census is taken through the Roman Empire, and it just so happens that what God does is he takes Joseph from Nazareth and brings him down into Bethlehem to register. So you see the sovereignty of God working right there. Even in the way the government works, God is working. Amen, guys?
Amen.
So, verse 8. It says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news, a great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Okay, that's an interesting sign. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. This was the most awesome concert that's ever existed on the face of the planet, and it was done for some shepherds in a field. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.
All right.
Come on, bro.
The incredible thing here is that now in the darkness, have you ever been out in the country before?
Yeah.
With our retreat, we went out to this camp called Camp Kupugani.
All right.
It's 2 hours west. There's no lights anywhere. Us Chicago disciples get out there. We look up and we see something that some of us didn't even know existed, thought it was simply a legend in a fairy tale. Stars. They're up in the sky. And there wasn't just two of them like here in Chicago. There was thousands in the sky everywhere.
Yeah.
And see, that's because when you go out into the fields, it's dark.
Yeah.
And so it's just so dark that now you can see those little shining stars.
Yeah.
Now, the incredible thing, imagine the shepherds out in the shepherd field.
Wow.
They didn't have any lights. There was no electricity, just so you know, that existed back then.
Right.
It was dark. And then they're up looking in the sky and a whole majesty of angels come.
All right.
And you're just blown away. And guess what happens? The sky lights up.
Yep.
The angels, thousands of them up there. Singing. And even in the songs that we're going to sing today, it says it echoed off the mountains.
Wow.
And that was what the shepherds saw.
Amen.
And what was it bringing forth? Jesus' birth.
Yep.
Wow. See, God turned the lights on. And here, the angels shining in the darkness were for the shepherds. And so where were the shepherds' hearts at? They were so fired up to see the power source. God himself.
Amen.
Of course, Luke is the account given to the Gentiles, the account of Jesus. But given to the Jews was the book of Matthew. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 2.
Come on, Mike.
Verse 1. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw a star in the east and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So what do you got? Jesus. He was born, and now these Magi from the east come to find Jesus. They come to King Herod, and they say, we're looking for Jesus. We're looking for this king. And their response? They were disturbed. This isn't good. A king? A king was born? How do you know this? Well, it's been prophesied for so long.
Right.
Well, what are you talking about? Well, there's a star that fell out. This is not good.
Right.
there was a disturbing factor that happened. From Jesus' birth, he was disturbing people. Isn't that intense? Jesus disturbed people. That's the effect that Jesus had from the point of his birth. Disciples are like Jesus. Disciples disturb people. And it wasn't just here. Jesus has been disturbing people for centuries. Maybe you've been a little disturbed lately. Maybe you've seen the real Jesus and said, this is disturbing. But just so you know, that's Jesus' effect. Ever since he was a baby, people were disturbed about him. And ever since then, people have been disturbed by Jesus. Now, is it a bad thing or a good thing? It's a good thing. Because in order to bring some light, you got to disturb the darkness. Amen? So, here it's disturbing. God brought forth the Messiah from a virgin to bring everyone to salvation. The interesting thing, why was Herod so disturbed? Because he was a king, yet not the rightful king. Simply a king appointed by the Roman Empire. So, him and his insecurity hears, oh my gosh, there's been a true king born. And he doesn't like it. Now, in the line of Herods, there's a very long line. You'll read different about different Herods, but they're different. They're different generations, sons that have passed on. The first Herod, of course, is the one that's first mentioned. But then there's the Herod that kills all the babies of Jerusalem, the one we're reading about right here.
Right.
Later on comes Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas is the one who kills James. And then after that, no, Herod kills John. Excuse me. Then the one falling kills James. And then lastly, there's Agrippa, who's with Paul. And he's the one who Paul talks about when he's in chains.
Yeah.
So Herod has been going on through this whole timeline, just different sons of Herod. But he's so just disturbed, so just worried about this. And these wise men, just to know where they come from, Persia. And of course, in Persia, there's something very interesting that happened hundreds of years back. In Persia, there was the diaspora of the Jews. Basically, they were taken into exile, and they were a part of Babylon, which finally Persia took over. But in that, there were Jewish people who taught the laws of Israel to all the Persians.
Right.
Isn't that intense? Yeah. So this rumor starts from the Jewish people in Persia. It starts of this Savior that's to come to the world, this child that's going to be born. And it's going to be from Bethlehem, and it's going to be marked. And so as these rumors come, the Magi, of course, being Persian, knew it. They see it fulfilled, and they come out to find the king. Isn't that intense? The Jews weren't even looking for him. But the Gentiles, the Persians, were looking for Jesus. And here it's interesting that they come, they see it, and then they get to Israel, and they stop at King Herod's. And let's look at verse 4. It just says, when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel. So here, you got an interesting thing. The Magi come, and they start teaching the Jews the Bible about Jesus. The Gentiles teaching the Jews. I think here it's important to see, man, there is kind of this implicit kind of understanding. Kind of a challenge to say, how well do you really know your Bible?
All right.
You know, like for us, some of us, we don't know the books of the Bible. I mean, in first principles, we've been taking the test, right?
Yeah.
It's like, wow, I don't know these things, but it's really awesome after you know them and somebody says, hey, turn to 2 John. Where would you go? Do you know? That's part of knowing the Bible. It's important. You got to know it. Amen? Let's go to verse 6. Verse 7. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on the way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Wow.
So here, it's the story, of course, of the three wise men. Everybody know that one?
Yeah.
You always hear the three wise men. But the interesting thing is, we don't really know if it was really three wise men. We just know there are three gifts. So a lot of times people assume it's three wise men. There might have been two, there might have been ten, but they brought gifts, and that was the important thing. The gifts also have a symbolic symbol of each one. And as they come, they worship Jesus. Now, of course, Joseph wasn't there. Only Mary was. But it doesn't say they worship Mary, too. They only worship Jesus.
Right.
And then they worship Jesus, and they give him the gifts. Not by chance. They didn't. It wasn't like for us with Christmas. You know, it's the 24th. You just finished your church service, and now it's time to go find those gifts real quick before Christmas rolls around. You know what I'm talking about? Ever been there? Ever happened to you? Okay, good. Glad it hasn't. Some people it has. Maybe you recognize. But these guys, this was not the case. They didn't bring gold, incense, and myrrh because it was what their wives had left over to give to Jesus. It's all symbolic of Jesus and what he represents.
Amen.
First one, the gold. The gold shows that, number one, these guys were rich. But also, it shows that Jesus is a king. The gold, the gift for a king right there. Second, frankincense, which is basically says incense here, but synonymously throughout the Bible in the old different translations, frankincense has the same different understanding right here. And it says that frankincense was a rare ointment made from a tree in India. So here is this rare ointment. It showed the divinity of Christ. The priestly office of Jesus. So a king, a priest, and then the last one, myrrh. Now myrrh, none of us are very familiar with. Myrrh in this time was simply what you used when you embalm somebody for their burial. You put the myrrh on them. So at Jesus' birth, they're showing the prophetic vision, Jesus' prophetic office about the passion, that Jesus was going to be killed. And they gave him the myrrh ahead of time as a symbol of the death he was going to have to go through.
Amen.
So you got the gold, the king. You got frankincense, the divinity. And then you finally have the myrrh, representing the burial and the crucifixion. All for this little young baby. And they knew. When you get to the Magi, they knew that this king, when you're giving him the gifts, he was to be worshipped by all nations.
Yeah.
This was the child that was for everybody, the whole world. Not just for the Jews, and not just for the Gentiles, but everybody, the four corners of the earth. And of course, Herod, if you look on later, what does he want to do? Well, he says, well, I got to kill all the young babies to be able to wipe out the king. So he kills all the babies that were two and under during this time and just wipes out all the kids.
Wow.
Because he was so afraid. But the interesting thing is, God says when the babies get killed, you got to go so that you avoid Jesus getting killed. Now, the interesting thing is, how are they able to leave? Well, they just got gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They're hooked up. God gave them the expenses for their trip right there.
Amen.
And I think understanding these guys were attracted to the light that brought them to Jesus.
Yeah.
There's a light that draws you to him.
Right.
To say, first you got to know him.
All right.
But when you see it, you think, I want that.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Come on.
Yeah.
And I mean, a lot of times people have no clue who Jesus is.
Yeah. Talk about it.
Or they have the wrong clue of who Jesus is. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
All right. Yeah.
You know, the gentle sheep carrying Jesus. You can barely tell what he's saying. But that's Jesus. It's just this weird, I don't know what you're saying. You're walking around with a sheep. But the thing was, that was not Jesus. When you read the Bible, you see Jesus was a man who had no religious pretense before him. He comes up to people and tells him the truth first sentence. He just walks up to him and says, hey, stop sinning or something worse may happen. If Jesus was here and you had a discussion with him, he wouldn't be beating around the bush. And I think a lot of times we think, man, I feel so forced to be a disciple. Has anybody ever told you that? Have you ever told anybody that? But I think Jesus is saying, listen, he's going to get straight to the point. You either go or you don't. But I think a lot of times we got to just say, who is this real Jesus? Do I really know him? He wasn't just the cute baby, but he was the powerful man. He was the salvation for all the world. And that's why the Magi come. Because they know this isn't just a simple, cute little baby who's going to remain that way for the rest of his life. He's going to turn into the man, the Savior, the Lion of Judah, who's the hope for the world. Do you know Jesus?
Come on, bro.
Do you know his character? Do you know who he really is? Only by you knowing him will there be hope for you as well.
That's right. Come on, bro.
I think we're all attracted to light. Even in this fellowship, you see people attracted to the light. It's so awesome to have Sandy Russell, Dave Cadell's mom, with us right now. All the way up from San Francisco, coming here. And at Midweek for the women, she's just sharing, I'm so grateful to be a part of the church and be here.
Amen.
And I think we can forget what God has given us here in the church.
Yeah.
People are disciples. People care about Jesus. And people, because of God's love, love you as well.
That's right.
And a lot of times you say, well, this doesn't feel like love. But that's because sometimes love can hurt. Sometimes people can say the truth. It hurts, but it's good for us. Amen? Next point, let's go to Luke chapter 1. The incredible thing with Jesus born is that because he was born, Mary got a lot of blessings out of that. And we're going to go through right here and pick out some blessings that Mary had because of this whole thing of Jesus being born. This is going to be awesome. And I want you to, as we're reading through this, think, man, I would really like that blessing. Or, oh, that blessing I'd really like to have too. That's really cool. But, man, it was because Mary was about to have the Son of God, Jesus, the Messiah of the world, that she gained these different blessings. So let's pick it up right here with Mary. And we'll pick it up in verse 26. Now, the interesting thing is that in this passage, first, you got the angel coming to Mary. The angel Gabriel saying, here's what you're going to get because you're having Jesus.
Amen.
So she's fired up. Now, she's about 14 or 15 years old, just so you know. But that was normal in those times. She was engaged, and she was supposed to be married to Joseph. But here the angel tells her some very important things. Then after that, she goes to her relative Elizabeth, who's 85 years old. And we're going to see something interesting that happens to Elizabeth as well. You get the 14-year-old going to the 85-year-old. Yeah. And then after that, she gets so fired up, she starts sharing her own stuff right here about what is going to happen because God has made this promise to her. Verse 26. Since in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you.
Amen.
So I'll stop right there and you can consider that.
All right.
The Lord is with you, highly favored by God.
Amen.
I mean, wouldn't that just be awesome? An angel comes and says, hey, you're the most popular person in heaven. Everybody's talking about you up there. Like, dang, this is good. The angels, Moses, all those guys are all talking about me, you know. That's what the angel was saying to Mary. Then it says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. Okay, so he kind of has to remind her. Favor with God. You'll be a child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He'll be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end.
Amen.
So it's not just saying for his lifetime, for eternity. Amen. There will be eternal blessings for Jesus. And for especially his mom, being the mom of this incredible king, you know? If your son is a king of a whole nation and of a whole world, you're feeling like, okay, I'm going to be looked after. They're not going to throw Jesus' mom in the side. It's like, okay, hopefully I'll benefit from this too. Moving on. It says, how will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. Remember, Elizabeth, 85 years old. It says, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is 70 barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God.
Come on.
Amen. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me, as you said. Then the angel left her. So, now she goes and visits her cousin, her relative, Elizabeth. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you'll bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished.
Amen.
And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servants. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. And isn't that true? Don't we even know Mary to this day? This prophecy is even fulfilled right now. Because she said, all generations will call me blessed. And if I ask you who Mary is, you're going to say, oh, that's Jesus' mom. I know who that is. Then it says, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He's performed mighty deeds with his arm. He's scattered those who are proud of their inmost thoughts. He's brought down rulers from their thrones and has lifted up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He's helped his servant, Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
Come on.
Here you see, Mary had a ton of blessings. Did you see that one? When you go through her life, and whether you're a guy or a girl, she has a lot of blessings that you might want to have. Being highly favored by God. Wouldn't you want that? Then it says, all generations will call me blessed. That's awesome.
Amen.
Then it says, God will lift up the humble.
Right.
And you say, man, I just want to get lifted up sometimes.
Yeah.
God lifts up Mary. She's the mother of Jesus. Then on that, it goes on and it just says that she believes what the Lord has said for her will be accomplished. So what do you see right there? You see this little woman, 14 years old, had faith to know that what Jesus was going to do, was going to happen, that God was not lying, that God was telling the truth.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a blessing right there.
Right.
But you got to say, hey, do you believe it?
Wow. Yeah.
She did. That's a blessing.
That's
so you just see, man, Mary has had an awesome life.
Yeah.
Because she was giving birth to the Son of God.
All right.
Come on.
And you just think, man, maybe I could get close to that. You know what I mean? Like, maybe I could just do one thing great in my life. I remember I was in my 20s.
Come on.
I'm in my 30s now. In case you know.
Right.
And I remember this fired up preacher preaching this sermon and saying, if you haven't done anything great in your 20s, you might as well just forget about it. And I was like, okay, I'm about 23. I got about 7 years. Let's do something great. And then I fall away for 3 years. And so I come back and I'm like, I'm about 27, 28. And just kind of work a part-time job and try to do something for the church. And I hit the dreaded 29th birthday. And it's literally the worst birthday ever. Because you realize that this is your last birthday in your 20s. From here on out, every birthday is going to be more and more depressing. And so I wasn't fired up on my 29th birthday. I was really sad. Because I was thinking, this is it. This is my, I'm never going to be in my 20s ever again for the rest of eternity. I'll never be in my 20s. You don't get a reset. It doesn't start over. So some of you relate with me, and some of you will. But then I just realized, because of what that preacher said 7 years before that, oh my gosh, I haven't done anything great. And just thinking, man, I just want to do something awesome for God.
All right.
But it's too late. I'm past. I missed it.
Come on, bro.
Now I'm just going to have to settle for who knows what. Being a music teacher and riding around on my motorcycle with long hair. You know, that's what I was doing. It was an ugly scene. It was ugly. But you think of Mary, you think, if only I could have that chance to be blessed like that. You know, if only there was that hope again, that maybe all generations might remember me for the awesome things I did for God.
All right.
And you think, man, that maybe for somebody else I'll get to see it happen, and that's what I'll be fired up about. Or maybe I'll get the favor of God, but not like that. And then you think, well, who in the world could be more blessed than her? You ever thought about that? Like, who in this world could be more blessed than the woman who's given birth to the Son of God? Now, just so you know,
come on, bro.
Jesus actually says there is another person who's more blessed than Mary.
Come on, bro.
Oh, I know.
Let's go to Luke 11.
Come
on, bro.
All right, Mike.
Some of you know who it is. Some of you know the answer. Now we fast forward, of course. We talked about Jesus' birth, but of course there's Jesus' ministry. He's preaching the word. And what happens when Jesus is preaching is that it's so amazing. There's so much authority. There's so much passion and truth and love that people start freaking out and going crazy. They start yelling things that you wouldn't want to yell in public. Because Jesus was just so astonishing. Not because he was this incredible David Copperfield kind of guy. He wasn't like a great magician, and so everybody was freaking out. But he was more like a Justin Bieber concert with a bunch of 13-year-olds. People are screaming, going crazy, and fainting probably. People didn't know what to do. Jesus, that was Jesus. Jesus was so incredible that you just saw him like, I want to be near this guy. That was Jesus.
Right.
Why? Because he loved people. He cared about people.
Right.
And so this lady, after Jesus preaches, blurts something out like one of those crazy little things. Right here in verse 27. As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." Like, whoa, wait a minute. Stop right there. That's intense. What are you talking? Hold on. You're talking about the woman who gave me birth and nursed me. We're getting really graphic right here. And I'm just preaching. You know, that would be really weird right now in this fellowship if somebody jumps up and tells me, Mike, blessed is the woman who gave you birth and nursed you. I'd be like, oh, thank you. Okay. Let's make sure she's okay later, guys. You see what I'm saying? It's awkward. It's a little weird. You know, what do you say after that? Well, let's look at what Jesus says. He replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it."
Come on.
Wow.
See, Jesus always makes the most of every opportunity.
Yeah.
This woman says some weird kind of random thing. And Jesus turns it back on everybody and says, you know what? Yeah, my mom, totally blessed. We already read all the blessings. Favored by God. Remembered for all generations. But then Jesus says, but you know who's more blessed rather than that? The person who hears God's word and does what it says. He says, that person is more blessed than my mom. So who then can be more blessed than Mary? The person who hears the word and does what it says.
Amen.
Now, now we're getting into what Christianity is all about. And now we're seeing that you are not excluded from the blessings that are talked about in Luke chapter 1. You also can be included on one condition.
Come on.
You hear it and you do it.
Come on, talk about it, bro.
That's it. And it's eternal blessings. Right? Because Jesus' kingdom will never end. So here saying, there is a blessing in store, but not just when you hear the word of God. Are you with me on that? A lot of times, don't we think, hey, I'm coming to church, I'm hearing the word, I'm studying it out, this is awesome.
All right. What else?
But Jesus doesn't say, whoever hears my word and comes out and hears me is blessed.
That's right, bro. That's right.
Don't hold back. Actually, if you want to go all the way back to James 1, he says, the person who hears my word but doesn't do what it says is deceived. I want to ask, you know, you think deceived. What does it mean to be deceived? It means you think something's right, but you're totally wrong. You ever been deceived before? I mean, Omni was telling me about this guy who was calling him up and said, hey, listen, I'm in a financial crisis, but I just need some help here. I'm going to mail you this check, and I need you to mail me back. Western Union need the money as soon as you can. I'm just letting you guys know, that's a scam. If that's happened to you, then, you know, you're not feeling too well when I'm talking about this. Because you got deceived. My mom was about to buy this really cool little puppy over in Arizona. But then it turned out the guy was totally getting a scammer, and we saved my mom from getting this little puppy. I mean, you don't like when people are deceived.
Yeah.
But when we hear the word, and we don't do what it says, we're just as deceived. Because what happens is you think, oh, it's good, this is going to turn out awesome. Just like that scam. Oh man, this guy's going to give me some money, and I'm going to give him some extra, I'm going to make like $500, this is going to be great. But in the end, you find out the check was a fraud, and you just lost $1,000. When you listen to the word, but don't do what it says you will be deceived. What does that mean? You'll think you're okay, but you're not. You'll say, oh, but I read it. You know, I'm listening to it, and come out to church all the time, and, you know, I'm really fired up. But listen, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many times you come to church. I mean, of course, if you're going to obey the Bible, you got to come to church, amen? But you're not done right there. I think that's the problem. We're all here. Amen. We're all at church. Awesome job. Step one, taken care of. Good job. Now, just so you know, this is just the beginning, you know? That's like saying I'm going to run a marathon. You got your shorts on. They hit the gun. You run a mile. You're like, man, that was great. But you still got a little ways to go here. You're here at church. You made it. Good job. But now there's another step. Now you got to obey what you hear. Not obey what I say. Amen, guys? It's not a movement of man. It's a movement of God. So you got to say, okay, what does the Bible really say? Am I really doing it? What does the Bible call me to do? Is that my conviction? And if it's not, then you're deceived. What are you deceived about? You think you're saved when you're not saved. You think you're good. You think you're right with God. You're not right with God. And you're like, well, hold on. So now you tell me I'm saved only by works. Well, no, you haven't studied the Bible yet. You don't know what it's all about. And so now I got to say, you got to get in the Bible and study it. You got to say, all your preaching works. No. I'm preaching the Bible. The Bible talks about faith and deeds. Amen? You got to have both of them. Just like it says in James. And so say, do I have both? And I think right here, just really say, man, where am I at really? Where am I really truly at?
Come on.
Who cares? Sunday. I mean, this is good, but this is not any more important than Monday.
Right.
What are you going to do tomorrow at 10 a.m.?
Right.
What are you going to do Tuesday at 10 a.m.? Are you going to forget about all this?
Oh, no.
Or is this going to change your life? Are you devoted? Or is it just a Sunday thing? See, I want to challenge you to say, I want to be blessed. But what do I got to do? I got to obey the word too.
Amen.
Now, it doesn't always feel good to obey. Am I right?
Yeah.
Like, when you know you got to do something, but you don't want to do it, you still got to do it, right?
Right.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like, have you ever not felt like going to work?
Yeah.
Has there ever been a day you felt like going to work? No. You know, but you got to learn something that even though you don't feel like going to work, what do? You go to work, right? Even if it's like Alex and Tia's job at 5 a.m. Like, I'm getting up at 3, having a cranky quiet time, and I'm going to get to work. It's going to be awesome.
Come on, Alex.
Do I want to do that? Not really. But I got to go to work. And so you see this understanding that in the world, we don't follow our emotions. We don't go to work when we feel like it, and when we don't, we just stop. But yet, in the church, it's kind of like we think our hearts are the gauge for everything we do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Talk about it.
Like, okay, where's my heart taking me right at this moment?
All right.
Okay, my heart's taking me over to this side. Okay, I guess that's the right thing. Oh, wait, now I'm going over here. Okay, I guess that's what I got to do. Oh, now I don't want to come. Okay, that's what I'm doing now. Oh, wait, now I want to go. Okay, I'm going to go. You know what I'm talking about? And you can see it, people who are inconsistent are people who just follow their emotions all the time.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And so for us, we just got to think, man, am I putting the Bible before my emotions?
Yeah.
So you see that you with me on that one?
Yeah.
I'm an emotional guy. You know, I can get really emotional. It's really weird sometimes. It freaks Brittany out. But the thing is that at a point I had to really realize those things are not always true. Just because I think, like, every person in the world hates me, and nobody really, like, is ever going to call me ever again in my whole life, and I'm going to be a complete failure from now till eternity, and people are just going to laugh at me, and, you know, those things, those are emotions. Now, I'm not thinking that right now, just so you know, but there's been times where you start kind of going that way, you know what I mean? For those rock solid guys in the crowd, I'm sorry I'm not related to you right now. But you guys can help me out, okay? That's what I need in my life. Because I know all these guys, there's no emotions. You guys just rock solid all the time. Right? You know that. Now, guys just show their emotions on different venues. You know what I'm saying? You get a guy at a football game, and that guy's emotional. You know what I'm
talking about?
You just got to find the right thing to get emotional. So, but see an attitude, you know what, your emotions are honestly real, but they're not always true. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so for us to say, I've got to obey the word of God, which means I got to follow this, I got to hear it and obey it, not obey me, but obey the Bible. Amen? And God says, when you do that, you will be blessed.
Yeah.
Who are you going to be blessed more than? More than Mary herself. And you're like, man, that is such an incredible promise.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think just to fire you up, every time you have a quiet time and you do what it says and you deny yourself and you love your brother and you're staying righteous and pure and you're saying, you know what, I'm going to deny myself and make sure that I'm still doing what God wants no matter what, you're literally building up an investment for yourself spiritually.
Yeah.
And you say, man, God has eternal things promised for me on that level. So the question is, where are you putting your investments in? Is it in God or is it in the world?
Come on.
Is it in the eternal or is it in the temporary?
Come on.
Is it in obeying God or is it in doing whatever you feel like doing?
Come on.
And then just saying, okay, amen. We all struggle with not wanting to obey God. That's why we have the Bible.
Amen.
So now we all got to agree together. I got to follow the Bible.
Yeah.
Not just hear it, obey it too. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, last point. Let's go to Matthew chapter 2.
Come on, bro.
We're talking about I'm dreaming of a light Christmas. But of course, dreaming is the whole part of this. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew 1 verse 20. It says, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.
Wow.
Joseph, taking a nap or sleeping at night, and he has the dream. Now, let's go to 2 verse 12. It says, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. They returned to their country by another route. Who's this talking about? The wise men, the magi. Yeah. Joseph has a dream. God is speaking through dreams to Joseph. Yeah. Now the magi come. God speaking in a dream to the magi. Okay, let's go to 3 verse 13. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt.
Alright.
Here, what do you have? Another dream directing Joseph and Mary where to go.
Yep.
Finally, verse 19. It says, after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead.
Alright.
So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. So here, you see finally, to pull him back from Egypt, what happens? Another dream. And so you start seeing all around this whole Christmas event, quote unquote, is the dream. The dream of Joseph. God coming in a dream. Don't think that this is all a coincidence. God makes it very clear. The dream is starting. The dream is beginning. And it's all about the dream. About what's going to happen here.
Okay.
It happens with Joseph. Then it happens with the wise men. Then it happens with Joseph again. And then finally get to bring him back. But you see right here that there's a dream happening.
Yeah.
And I think, let's go to Acts chapter 2.
Come on, bro.
Come on, Mike.
Acts chapter 2. Coming, the beginning of the church. Mm-hmm. What Jesus was all about. The bride of Jesus, the church, as it says in Revelation 21.
Alright.
Chapter 2. Verse 17. It says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. And your old men will dream dreams.
Wow.
The Magi had dreams. Joseph had a dream. God spoke in dreams. What's your dream for the kingdom of God?
Come on, Mike.
See that? What is Christmas all about? It's all about the dream.
Yep.
It's all about your dream. And I'm wondering, God speaks to men in dreams. And what is the dream that you have for what God is doing right here?
Wow.
What is it that you see it and you say, I want to see this. I want to see this brother strong.
Alright.
Yeah. Maybe it's a dream. I just want to be right with God. And it's, man, I want to change the sin that's in my life.
Cool.
Maybe it's the dream of saying, I want to help somebody become a disciple.
Amen.
But God says that my kingdom has dreams.
Come on.
There's something, as we grow older, that happens. We start losing it. We start not just losing our minds. I'm not talking about that. Talking about something else. Talking about losing the dream. We all had it. Now, maybe it's a weird dream that, you know, you're kind of embarrassed to talk about. You know, maybe you're like, I want to be a clown when I get older. And you never want to tell anybody that. But the thing that happens now is that as a disciple, God wants you to dream for his kingdom.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of dreams. And usually, as we get older, they change from idealistic to what the world gives us, which is money and relationships. But as a kid, you kind of remember, I'm going to be the president of the United States.
Yeah.
I'm going to the moon as an astronaut. NASA doesn't exist anymore, as far as that's concerned.
Right.
And you're thinking, well, now what's my dream? But God's saying, the kingdom is all about the dreams of people.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, we live in a world where there's Not many churches have sold out disciples. There's, you go to a city, and there's many cities out there without disciples there. You go through it, and you see the people walk by, and you think, as a sold out disciple, there's nobody here to show these people what it really means to follow God the way Jesus called them to. And then you start dreaming. You walk through Chicago. You go into a building and you think, who is really following God's word? Hearing the word and obeying it. And you start having a dream.
Come on.
You're on the bus. So those of us that ride the bus. And you see people and you say, man, who here really loves God? You see the lives of people. You hear what they talk about. And you just don't, they don't know. And then you start dreaming for them.
Right.
And see, that's what is so hard sometimes. Because when you dream, you can get let down. And so here it's, God says, listen, my kingdom is not a kingdom of rule on rule. But it's a kingdom about men and women dreaming for God.
All right.
Amen.
And saying as a church, what is the dream you have for God?
All right.
Because your dream for this world will last as long as you last.
Yeah.
But your dream for God will last as long as God lasts.
All right.
Yeah. But are you dreaming for God?
Come on.
See, I think right here, Proverbs 29:18. Let's go there.
All right.
Come on,
right.
Come on, bro. Bro.
Verse 18. It says, where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraints. But blessed is he who keeps the law. In the King James Version, it says, where there's no vision, the people perish.
Wow. Yep.
And here, I know there are people, it is incredible to see the Chicago church. I mean, I just walk around, leaders meeting, you're so fired up. Devo is, like with the campus too, it's incredible.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I love God's kingdom. I love being a part of it.
So. Right.
But then I got to remember, if I don't have vision, this thing will not last.
Come on.
It'll only last for a certain time. And just thinking, what's my dream going to be?
Yeah, come on.
Now, if you're studying the Bible, then you got to say, well, what does my dream have to be? And that dream is to be a relationship with God.
Amen.
According to what the Bible says.
Right.
I say, man, I just dream to walk with God on a daily basis. I remember when I was studying the Bible, all I wanted was just to be right with God and get baptized.
Amen.
I'm like, I got to get it. It took me a whole month to finally get there. And I remember coming over and over and over again to the leader's house and saying, I feel like I'm ready. I feel like I'm ready. He's like, no, go do this. And I had the dream to get baptized. So I was like, okay, I'll go do it. Come back. No, you're still not ready. Okay, amen. What else do I got to do? Well, you need to go talk to everybody and find out what really moved their heart, because you're just not broken. So I'm like, okay, amen. So I start asking everybody scriptures. What do I need to do? What do I need to change? And still going after it. And like, well, you need to go share your faith. So I'm 13-year-old. I go to this little grocery store and share my faith there with like 13 people at the grocery store in Florida. Little 13-year-old kid. And I end up getting kicked out of the grocery store. And I wasn't stealing anything. I was inviting people out to church. Very different from what I was like before as a little kid. But just see it, man, I had the dream to get baptized. And finally the day came where the guy that I was with, he said, you know what, Mike? You're ready. You're ready for this. And so I remember getting baptized, and my dad baptized me. He's a disciple out in Los Angeles.
All right.
And going under the water and seeing the flashes with my eyes closed under the water, and it was like fireworks going off. It was like the dream came true.
Come on.
And then I come back and I'm right with God.
Amen.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking, man, this is what the Bible's all about. And then the dream started. And I started dreaming as a kid for what I want to do with the kingdom and in the kingdom. And so from there on out, just seeing the dream grow. But I think with us, just really saying, just I want to dare you to dream for the kingdom.
Amen.
Christmas was surrounded by dreams.
Yeah.
Joseph had the dream. The Magi had the dream. Now, these were different dreams because God was saying, get out of here, run away. But with this, God wants us to dream as well. What's your dream for God's kingdom this Christmas? Going into 2012, what's your dream? For this month of December, what's your dream? And I think with that dream, we will change not only just the kingdom here, but Chicago, the Midwest, the United States. And with that, the entire world will change according to Jesus' plan. And just think it, but where does it start? What do you really see? And I think when you get close to God, your dreams are going to grow. So with that, I think just understanding I'm dreaming not of a white Christmas. I mean, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? Get some snow. That'd be awesome. But even more than that, some people don't. When you're from Florida and Los Angeles, you love snow on Christmas.
Yeah.
Only a few people relate to that. But to understand, man, I'm dreaming of a light Christmas. A Christmas that is just like God wants. A Christmas that is about the lordship of Jesus. About having an understanding that when I hear God's word and obey it, God's going to bless me even more than this whole nativity scene. Yeah. And then on top of that, that I'm going to dream for the kingdom and God will allow these people to grow around me. And with that, amen to God. Amen.